eyes. O Lord, save me, my God, deliver.
Welcome to The Firmly Planted Tree, a podcast dedicated to the reading of the Psalms for strength in our daily walk and to delight in the law of the Lord. I'm Joey Hawkins, and like the tree planted by the waters, may God's word establish you in righteousness.
The Lord alone deliverance sends, no other source of help have we.
Psalm 41. To the choir master, a psalm of David. Blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. The Lord sustains him on his sickbed, and in his illness you restore him to full health. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Heal me, for I have sinned against you. My enemies say of me in malice, when will he die and his name perish? And when one comes to see me, he utters empty words, while his heart gathers iniquity. When he goes out, he tells it abroad. All who hate me whisper together about me. They imagine the worst for me. They say a deadly thing is poured out on him. He will not rise again from where he lies. Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. But you, O Lord, be gracious to me, and raise me up that I may repay them. By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. Well, maybe the title for this one was a word that you're not as familiar with as I was, reading one of the commentaries that John Goldengay did, which was, again, a commentary that was graciously given to me well over a year ago when I began this podcast. But he used a word, a collocation. And I had to look that one up, but a collocation, if you look at the definition, is the habitual juxtaposition, fancy, more big words, the habitual juxtaposition of a particular word with another word, or words with a frequency greater than chance, or the action of placing things side by side or in position. And so we can look at it in the sense that there's a couple things that contrast in here right away, but the collocation we're going to be doing is in many ways with Psalm chapter 1. You see, Psalm 41 is going to finish out the first book in your Psalter. There are several books, I believe three. Let me get in here and check to make sure. But yeah, within the Psalm, this ends your first section of the Psalms, the first book. And so, pardon me, there's five books. I was going to say, I knew my number was wrong there. But in the first book, then, the first 41 Psalms, you have this sort of theme that's going throughout it that could be laid out in Psalm chapter 1 and Psalm chapter 2 for really all of the Psalms. But let's compare a little bit of Psalm chapter 41 with Psalm 1, because Psalm 1 begins with, blessed is the man who what? Who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Psalm 41 speaks of a blessedness as well. It says, blessed is the one who considers the poor. In the day of trouble, the Lord delivers him. The Lord protects him and keeps him alive. He is called blessed in the land. You do not give him up to the will of his enemies. And so we see a contrast then between these two blessed individuals, because as it says in this, who considers or who thinks about the poor is this idea that we are thinking and contemplating on someone who is down on their luck, who is experiencing misfortune. And as we've gone through the different themes of the Psalms, you've seen how there is this idea that everything doesn't go as smoothly as we read in Psalm chapter 1. Yes, the man is blessed who walks in the counsel of the righteous and who avoids the evil and wicked in this world. Yes, absolutely. But at the same time, there are those who go through the experience that is very different. And so I like how Goldengay puts this when he says, there is good fortune in paying attention to Yahweh's teaching. There is also good fortune in paying attention to what happens to people for whom Psalm 1 seems not to work out. Because such pain of attention reveals that this experience does not mean that Yahweh has simply gone away. Yahweh acts faithfully either in preserving from trouble or in rescuing from trouble. And so Psalm 1 and Psalm 41 contrast nicely in that sense that we are looking at whatever experience we have in life, God is the one who is acting and is the one who is supplying the needs. Again, as he says in verse 3, the Lord sustains him on his sickbed. In his illness, you restore him to full health. So we see right away that there's this contrast between those two experiences, but in both of those, God is acting and God is working. God protects the way of the righteous. God also upholds the righteous and rescues the righteous. So there's another way of looking at that in the sense that like those who walk in Yahweh's paths, that there are good fortune that belongs to them. Again, Psalm 1, verse 1 says, blessed is the man. And then in verse 6, it says, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked perish. That there is a sense in which you will receive good fortune. But we also notice in verse 2 again that the Lord protects him and keeps him alive. Even someone who is in unfortunate and difficult circumstances, even throughout their whole lives, is being sustained by God himself. And it also calls us then, when we consider the poor, to take action ourselves. Of course, we trust in God and we trust that God will supply, but I think one of the problems that we've gotten into our day and age is that considering the poor is often something we only do at the ballot box or when there's time to give money. Having worked in a church and seen many, many times what poverty looks like in our community, with the cycle that comes with that, with people who are continually and habitually in difficult circumstances or in addiction, it might look different than what we would have seen in David's day or in the time of the writing of Scripture. But it's one of those things that we must consider ways that we are to act. The commands of Jesus and how we are supposed to treat the poor is not to vote for people who have policies that you think will fix the poor. It is for you to consider what you are to do directly. Also, another collocation, and maybe the one that we'll end on here, is this idea that we've seen all throughout the Psalms already, where many times in the same Psalm, David will say that he is a sinner and then also appeal to his own integrity. Did you notice that in this? For he said in verse 4, as for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me, heal me, for I have sinned against you. But then later on in verse 11, he says, by this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout and triumph over me. But you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. And so it's this experience that we understand, and I think we understand as Christians as we grow, that there is this sense in which God upholds us and delights in us, and that we are to respond ultimately when there is sin in our lives with repentance. Again, Golden Gay, the worshiper is someone who falls short of Yahweh's ultimate standards, yet over against the standards of those enemies can claim to be a person of integrity. The fact that we all come to God as sinners means that heal me, O Lord, for I have sinned against you is simply the right way to pray for restoration. But we need also to be people who are fundamentally committed to integrity in our relationships, in our relationship with God and then with other people. So really, that's this contrast that we have where we can look, and it's not just a, I'm better than someone else, or I've got more integrity than they do. It's not this sliding scale, but rather, again, a posture that we take of saying, of taking repentance, of turning to the Lord, of being restored, and then relying on the integrity and the delight that he has in us, and not having a spirit of doubt when it comes to that. Think about how fundamentally transforming that is for a relationship when you know that someone delights in you. I know with my children, as we go through discipline, there is this line that you walk of correcting, of rebuking, of training, but also of commending and building up and giving a sense of security and love. And the Lord, as our perfect Father, certainly knows how to do that to us. So again, I've enjoyed it thus far. It's been fun to make it now through this first book, if you will, of the Psalms, and I look forward to continuing through the remainder. Thank you again for joining us, and I pray you have a good week, and that you, like the righteous man, may be firmly planted by streams of righteousness and peace. Thank you for listening. Find us online under the Firmly Planted Tree, where we can further continue our discussion. And please consider sharing this podcast and leaving a review. And may the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
A joyful noise to make. Oh, come with thanks, his presence too. With joyful song.